No faith. No faith. Now, these guys were followers of Christ. So, I mean, it wasn't that these guys were heathen or that they didn't know the Lord. They were followers of Christ. So what does this tell us? It's telling us that the child of God, it's very possible for you to have a saving faith but not have a sanctifying faith. That you have enough faith to get saved, but you don't have enough faith to trust God for things in your life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery?
I was like, whoa, man. The will to fight. That no matter what you're going through, that you got some fight in you, that you're just not going to give up, that there's in you somewhere. Here, this brother has cancer, and he could have very easily sat down and sat at home and licked his wounds, but he was in the gym working out. Brother looked good, almost as good as, no, just kidding. He said, I appreciate the fact that God put it in me to give me the will to fight. And you know what? How can you tell if you have no faith or little faith? That there's nothing in you to trust God. That you are not trusting God for a piece of gum. That there's things going on in your life that you are trusting God for. My wife thinks I'm crazy. He keeps telling me, you need to go get your shoulder replaced. They've been telling me that for 5 years. I get less and less range of motion. But you know, I'm still operating. I can still deal with it. Now, you know the thing? I'm waiting. I'm trusting. Eventually, I know I'm going to have to go do it, right? But I'm saying, you know what, man? In the meantime, in the in-between time, I'm praying that maybe they might find some kind of cure for the shoulder, right? Where they can shoot something down in there and everything be all right. Man, they put a guy on the moon and they figure this out and that out. So I'm saying, God, you know what? For right now, when it gets to the point where I can't take it anymore, believe me, I'm gone.
Amen.
I'm gone. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gone. But as long as I can mosey along, I'm trusting God for that cure, right? I'm willing to kick out some money to scientists, right? You know, for them to find the cure for this bone-on-bone situation I got going on. But I'm trusting God. Now, I'm not going to be like the guy. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the guy was stranded on a desert island, and a boat came, and the guy said, no, I'm trusting God. And then a helicopter came to rescue him. And he said, no, I'm trusting God. And then the guy died on the island, and he went to heaven. He said, God, he said, what happened? I was trusting you. God said, I sent a boat and a plane. So I'm not going to be stupid now. I'm telling you, because I don't want anybody, oh, you know, Pastor Glaze said, because I can hear somebody saying, oh, Pastor Glaze said, if you need operation, don't go get operation, just trust God. No, I didn't say that. All right? I said, when I get to that point, I'm gone. Believe me. All right, so we got that straight, right? Nobody's going to go out here misquoting me, right? All right, how did I get on that anyways? No faith, little faith. Increasing faith. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I haven't preached in about a month now. I've got a month worth of preaching up in me. Y'all might get it all this morning. Might not be no cookouts today. All right, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul prayed for the people at Thessalonica, and he said, I'm praying that we might see you, number one. But the second thing I'm praying is that God would perfect what is lacking in your faith. So wherever your faith is coming up short, Paul said, I'm praying that God would fill in and perfect those areas. Now, Paul writes again to the Thessalonians a second letter. And look what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. The second letter to the Thessalonians. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. Look at this. Because your faith groweth exceedingly. Wow. He went from praying that God would perfect their faith in the areas where they were lacking. He went to praying, praising God, because their faith was growing exceedingly. Do you have a growing faith? Do you have a faith that you can look back last year and look where you are today and say, man, you know, I can see how my faith has grown over the last year. I can see that there were some things that I struggled with a year ago that now I trust God. That there are some issues that I dealt with last year that if I had the faith that I have now, that I wouldn't have had to deal with them the same way. That's how to tell if you have a growing faith. Is your faith locked into the same place it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Are you stagnant? Are you at a stalemate? Or is your faith growing? You know, one of the things that we should thank God for as a church is that God has called us to build a new sanctuary. We should thank God for that. Why? Because that's causing us to stretch outside of our comfort zone. That's causing us to move outside what we can see. That's causing us to exercise our faith. And if we will exercise our faith, we will do great things. You know, I have here in my pocket an iPhone. Now, this iPhone is amazing. On this iPhone, I've got phone numbers to most people in the church. I got my calendar on here. I got my music on here. I've got a program on here where there are 26 Bibles. I've got commentaries on here. I've got radio stations all around the world on here. And I could go on and on what I have on this phone. But as long as this phone stays in my pocket and I don't do anything with it, the phone is doing me absolutely no good. I can go around and say, yeah, man, look, I got an iPhone. I got an iPhone, you got an iPhone, we all got iPhones. You know, we could talk about iPhones, right? All of us got an iPhone. But until we start using it, it's not doing us any good. And God has given us this amazing ability to trust him and see him do great things, and the average Christian doesn't even use it. Just sits back and waits for things to happen, sits back and waits to see what the world is going to do. Well, you know, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get in trouble. I'll be exiting quick after this. People waiting for that $52 million lottery, right? I don't know how many people I've heard, even Christians now, right? No, not Christians, right? All right. Waiting for the big one, right? So now when you get it, go ahead and break off a little bit to the church now. But and then after that, I will give you my pamphlet that I wrote on gambling, and you can read it after that. I'll be like one preacher, man. He said the devil had it long enough. No, seriously, though. Seriously. You know, people are waiting for this, waiting for that, instead of trusting God. Instead of reaching out and trusting God and saying, okay, God, well, you know what? I believe that you have more money than the state of Pennsylvania. And that whatever money is in the lottery, you got more money than that. And whatever I need, you got it, Lord. And all I need to do is trust you. David said, I've been young and I have been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. So where is your faith? Do you have an increasing faith? Well, let me move on. Great faith. Great faith. In Matthew chapter 15, we read about a Gentile woman who came to Jesus, and she was looking for a healing for her daughter. And she told Jesus what was going on, and can you believe this? Jesus just ignored her. He just kept going. But what did this lady do? She kept pursuing after him. She kept crying out unto him. As a matter of fact, the lady got downright annoying because the disciple said to Jesus, look, why don't you just send her away? You know, just ask her to leave. She's messing up our flow here. You know, we're trying to heal folks and do this, and she's walking behind you, crying. Why don't you just send her away? And so Jesus says to her in verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not right to give the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Wow. Now, I mean, man, you know, at that point, I think I'd say, okay, man, I don't think you came from heaven. You know, I don't think you, God. I mean, that's what I would have said. But look what this lady said. I mean, then she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even unto to thee as thou will. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. Here we see a Gentile woman who has faith. A Gentile woman who Jesus says has great faith. What is great faith? Great faith is two things. Number one, you persistently go to the Lord with your request. That you believe that Jesus can answer whatever it is on your heart. And even though when people discourage you, like the disciples tried to discourage this lady, like maybe even Jesus' response, she might have been discouraged, but she didn't stop. And if you got a great faith, you keep coming. The Bible says, ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking, and you shall be fine. You shall find. You got to keep coming. You got to keep going. You know, I'm not down with this thing where, you know, all you got to do is pray and ask God and then let it go, and he already knows it. No, I mean, I see too many times in the scripture where God tells us to keep on coming, and that if I've got a faith in a holy and righteous God, that if there's something going on in my life, then I need to storm the gates of heaven. I need to pursue God. I need to go after God and cry out after him and bring it to him time and time again, because I believe that God is able. One of the reasons I got mad at God when I got sick, and I dealt with that sickness all that time, and I wasn't getting any better. And one of the reasons I got mad at God was because I knew that God could do something about it. I knew that God could just wipe his hand over my leg and it'd be healed. I knew that he could. And I kept after him every day, pursuing him and praying, because I know, God, that you have the power to be able to take care of this situation. And I don't know what it is that you're going through today, but I hope you are characterized by great faith. And a great faith says that I will pursue God until he lets me know that I don't need to pursue him anymore. See, the problem with many of us is we just quit and we give up. And God says, you quit in the 11th hour. If you'd have just kept on, you would have had a breakthrough. Wow. And so don't stop. Persist in prayer. This lady didn't stop. She got, you know, as we might say, she got on his last nerve. But she didn't stop. And then look at the other thing this lady did. She had a willingness to accept whatever it was that the Lord was going to give her. So, you know, the problem is that, you know, we got it all figured out and planned out. And this is the way that we want it. And if we don't get it that way, then it must not be the Lord. See, sometimes we need to be open to receive what it is that the Lord has for us. And then in receiving what God has for you, then there may be something greater down the road that he'll lead you to. But you can't get what the greater is because you haven't received what it is that he's given you. This lady said, Lord, even the dogs desire the crumbs. You know, I don't even want a piece of bread. If you'll just give me a crumb right now, I'll be satisfied. Because I've got that much faith in you. I've got enough faith in you to believe that if I get a crumb, I'm going to be satisfied with a crumb. Wow. Wow. And then we see strong faith. And we'll conclude with this one here this morning. Strong faith. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Speaking of Abraham, when he trusted God for Isaac, it says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which are, I love that definition right there, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. That's faith. That's faith in a nutshell right there. Who calleth those things which are not as though they were. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Five characteristics of strong faith. Five characteristics. If you have the notes, you have them listed in there. First of all, Abraham believed when there was no hope. When there was absolutely no reason for him to hope, he believed. It says, who against all hope believed in hope. That when they were down by a touchdown and the other team had the ball and there was 1 second left on the clock, that they still had hope. They had hope that maybe they would fumble and it would pop up and somebody would take it and run it back for a touchdown. Abraham, it says, again, when there was absolutely no reason for him to hope, that he had hope. That's a strong faith. Second, Abraham believed without becoming weak in his faith, that his faith was not weak. He didn't resort back. He didn't go back to a weaker faith, but he kept his faith at the same level. Number three, Abraham was not discouraged by his own limitations. Look what it says here and in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was not discouraged by his own limitations. Number four, Abraham put his faith in the promises of God. We sang the song earlier today, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. When was the last time that you stood on the promise of God? The Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. And then fifth, Abraham did not waver between belief and unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And look at this. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's strong faith. And I know I'm kind of moving through this pretty quick, but I would pray that if you have the notes, and if you don't have them, we can get you a copy, that you would take this home and that you would really meditate on this and that you would see where you are at in this area called faith. And once you locate where you're at, then I'm just going to give you a word. And that word is rest. The word is rest. Rest. That If you want your faith to grow, then you've got to rest. And I spell it out in there. You got to, first of all, receive the promise of God. You know, if you're not in church, if you're not in the Word, then you don't have any promises to stand on. And so the first thing you've got to do is you've got to receive the promise of God. You got to be in a place where you can hear the promises of God. You got to be in a place where God can show you what His promise is for you. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to embrace the promise of God. What is that? Not only receive it, but now you got to say it. I'm holding on to this. God has given me this promise. And like that Syrophoenician woman who Jesus told that the dogs can eat the crumbs, that I'm going to hold on to whatever He gives me, and I'm going to embrace it. And then number three, all of faith is stepping out. Whatever it is God has called you to do, you got to step out. You can't stay on the boat. You got to step out into the water. So once you step out, then you begin to activate your faith. Just receiving and embracing it, that's one thing. But now you got to step out. And then the third thing, the T, you got to think. You got to constantly, you know what you got to do? You know, one of the things that in my bedroom, right? And I'm going to say this and I'm done. In my bedroom is a picture of me and my wife with two other people when I was in college playing football in Chicago. And I had on a skin-tight shirt, right? And my sleeves were cut up here, and my arms were popping out. And so every day I look at that picture, and I say, that's what I'm going to be right there. Right up on my, there you go, every day. Keep it in your mind, right? No, the picture is up there, saints, but I'm just kidding. I'm trying to give you an illustration. And the illustration is this, is that whatever it is that God has promised you, then you need to keep it before you. You need to keep it in your mind. And you need to rehearse it over and over again and hold on to that thing until God blesses you with what it is that you're trusting Him for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The prayer that we close out with today, dear most Heavenly Father, thank You for showing me that I need faith to please You. Please help me understand where I am in my faith and to put steps in place to increase my faith. Give me the wisdom to know Your promises, the conviction to believe them, and the courage to step out on them. And Lord, we pray that You would help this congregation today to exercise more faith in You. We'll give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.